this Tuesday edition of the Hagmann Report. During the break, Eric and I were plotting our initial investments into cryptocurrencies. We will report back later if we do decide to do that. We have coming up Evan Hafer. He is the CEO of Black Rifle Coffee Company. And I want to just give a brief overview of what this company is. Black Rifle Coffee Company is the world's premium conservative coffee company. Small batch and roast to order, we take pride in the high quality of products we create. Our coffee is carefully sourced and from a variety of farms in South America, and we roast it knowing it will fuel freedom-loving Americans everywhere. This is a veteran-owned company, and we're going to hear more from the CEO and owner, Evan Hafer.
I love it. He writes that he spent over a decade researching coffee, refining my roast profiles and, of course, drinking what I roast, but he did this between deployments, okay? Look, I'm drinking the AK-47 blend right now. Cheers.
Yeah, and
I love my coffee, and I got to tell you, Black Rifle is the premier. If you drink coffee, Black Rifle, look.
Check out their website.
The coffee is great, number one. Number two, I'm not getting paid to say this. We're not getting paid to say it. The coffee is fantastic. The products are superb. But the best part about this is, like Joe said, Joe, veteran-owned company.
Veteran-owned, pro-Second right. Amendment. Conservative, yeah. Christian.
Everything we stand for. If you drink coffee, and I know you do, the exception, of course, Dr. Ted. Hey, Ted, sorry. But, you know, I love my coffee. And I'll tell you what. Give me my AK-47 blend from the Black Rifle Coffee Company. This is the best stuff out there on the market, and you're helping veterans. But you know what? And by the way, remember when Starbucks... We're gonna hire 10,000 illegals or whatever that baloney was. Really? Well, I've got. Don't waste your money on that crap. Get the best. Get the best that there is. Black Rifle Coffee. And again, I'm not getting paid to say this, but you got to give props to the CEO and to every man, every person that works at Black Rifle who stands up and their videos. My wife says, you're having them on? Oh, you got to say, I love the videos. And I do too. I do as well. But is he ready?
Yes.
Let's bring him on.
Yeah. We have the CEO and founder of the Black Rifle Coffee Company, yeah. Evan Hafer. Welcome to the show.
For having me, guys. Can you hear me all right?
We can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Can't see you, though.
I don't know if
your video's not on.
Here, I'll turn my camera on.
Okay.
This says Skype, so I'm not new to it, but I'm sitting here in my office in Salt Lake City.
There you are, man, and you're looking good, and I'll tell you what. I don't know how you do it, but your coffee is the best. And
I appreciate it.
And you know, I'm not getting paid to say that, right? You ain't paying me. Okay. And I would wrestle anybody over the AK-47 blend. You guys do the best, but you gotta look for those people unfamiliar with you and your company. Just how'd you get started?
I started roasting coffee about 10 years ago and, give or take 10 years because the deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. I kind of got a blur in there, but I started roasting coffee and a little 1 pound roaster, and I was roasting coffee so I could take fresh coffee with me on deployments. And I wanted to be able to take, you know, 12, 15, 20 pounds, depending on the length of when I was deploying, and have literally the finest, freshest cup of coffee available. And, I didn't know that my little hobby was going to turn into Black Rifle Coffee, but it did, and I'm thankful for it. My wife actually had a coffee shop in Denver. I was looking to transition out of government service, and the step or the logical step was for us to open up a coffee shop. And I didn't have the startup capital for coffee shop, so I started roasting coffee and seeing if I could sell it online. And people loved what I was doing. I was roasting it 1 pound at a time. I was doing all the customer service. I built my website. I did everything on my own. I didn't have any employees for the first year. I had one employee that I hired in year one, and a former engineer officer that I met post-service. So it was just my wife, one employee, and myself for the first year, and I continued to just be head down, do my best to serve everybody. Today, 3 years later, I have 100 employees, and we wow. roast over 1 million pounds of coffee a year still right here in Salt Lake City. I've got a little bit bigger roaster these days. And I've hired over 50 veterans so far that work right here in Salt Lake City. And that's one of my primary and motivating objectives. So for me, this is what I call is emancipating myself from government service and providing value to my family and my subculture, which, you know, is my veteran community. So I try to give back as much as I can and provide opportunity to those that have served the country. And I think a lot of it just boils back to this is my subculture. These are the people that I've served with. But I also think that America owes our servicemen and women a great deal. It's our ethical responsibility to make sure that we take care of the warfighters.
Amen. And what you're doing, and as far as I'm concerned, building your business the way you've done it, with veterans, putting veterans first, putting the patriotism first, your ideology that's infused, purposely used that word, into your business, I think it's just remarkable. And well, what a success story that is. I don't think that there would be a patriot out there who would find any fault with what you're doing. In fact, they would applaud what you're doing. And I suspect that that's part of your exponential growth here, your explosive growth here over the last. Well, when did you start? You told me. I
started Black Rifle Coffee officially in December of 2014.
Okay.
So 3 years ago.
So 3 years. Yeah.
I'd been roasting coffee for several years before that, but I left government service and, I had a little 1 pound roaster that I had purchased, and I literally started the company with $1,800. I didn't have any startup capital, but I just wanted to be able to work through the science behind starting a business and working for myself. I had worked exactly. for the government at that point my entire adult life. I was quite literally just burnt out from working for people. And I wanted to just figure out a way to carve out my own 10 acres. And I loved coffee. I still do. It's something I'm hyper passionate about. I just, besides my family, my business, and the American Constitution, coffee falls in the top 5 things that I care about in the world.
Wow.
And, I owe the success of my company ultimately to my military experience, because I think that it forged me in the realities of the world. It provided me an incredible opportunity to serve my country and put me in a wide variety of complex situations that gave me the context of just being able to drive forward in the toughest environment. I believe in the American warfighter to my core, because I am. And, you know, when I get up in the morning, what inspires me and motivates me is, you know, outside of my family, is making sure that I'm doing what I can for my subculture, but also the guys that didn't make it back. And if they can see that what I'm doing is good for the community, and it's, you know, if I'm being a good steward to my subculture and kind of driving the narrative in America to make sure that there are a wide variety of opportunities for all of us that have served the country, well, heck, I'm doing exactly what I should be doing.
Our guest is Evan Hafer, the top dog, or should I say the top bean at Black Rifle Coffee Company. I got to ask you. Love your coffee, love your company, love your ideology. But now let's talk about where we're at today as a country, as a nation. Troubling, isn't it? I mean, we are just a fractured nation. But it's guys like you and businesses like yours that are helping us through, but comment on the state of the union today.
Well, I think that there's a wide variety of issues within our society and our country that, from my perspective, there's so many different things that are infecting our nation with a negative narrative. And I mean, I think it happens within negative and false information. Not to use, the word fake news, but there's just so much bad information out there and it's so widely accepted as truth that it's very difficult for Americans just in general to make really good decisions. And, if they look for information, they really have to look at where it comes from and what the foundation of that information is, and then how it affects their realities each day. The reality is that we, as a nation, we've been at war for well over a decade now. 2001 to now, if I'm doing my math right, we've been at war for over 15 years. And we've been in Afghanistan for over 15 years. That's the longest running war in American history. If I'm doing my math right on my calculator, that's about right. Not only the expense of that expense comes at the children of America that we're sending off to fight these wars, and not only that, the economic costs of that, and it also starts to fracture the nation and the narrative as far as how we continue to get involved in different places overseas and then continue to get less invested with our own nation, I think is it's almost criminal. The people that are hyper passionate for America, that are true Americans, are the people that put on their pants and go to work every day. They're not in rallies and burning flags. They're the people that go to work and weld pipes and go to work building the nation. And they're the people that put on the uniform and serve it. They're the people that go to work every day and put an honest day's effort for an honest day's pay. And we owe them a great deal of gratitude. And I think that, maybe news in conjunction with, our politicians continue to fail them.
Boy, I don't think I could have said that any better, Joe.
He's right. And Evan, yeah. I want to ask you a question, while we're not talking about coffee. The VA.
Take a sip of my AK-47 blend. Okay, go ahead.
I want to get your opinion on this because you are a veteran yourself. You said you employ a whole bunch of veterans, and I'm sure that you have family and friends who are veterans. The VA has had huge problems keeping their hospitals and facilities up to code, if you will. The conditions have been awful. And today there is news that came out that one of the more plagued buildings in Pennsylvania, that 750 employees were urged by the head of this VA not to comply with federal investigators and subpoenas over their allegations. And I just wanted to ask you, have you heard stories about how bad the VA is? And in your mind, what can be done to correct this? Is this something that needs to be done at the military level, at the federal level? Because we see how bad it is from the reports, but it's not getting a lot of coverage, and I don't see many solutions out there.
Well, I'm a service disabled veteran, and I've experienced the VA in both the good and the bad. And I think that the first thing that we have to take a look at is from my perspective, what society thinks of the American warfighter, and I think they don't want to think about them. I think they forget that we're at war. I think that they forget how many wars we're fighting and the burden that the American warfighter has actually had to take on for over a decade and a half. And what happens with that is they, as a society, I think what happens is that there's less emphasis on taking care of the American warfighter because there's less emphasis on the wars and making people understand the effects of war and how much it has affected a certain portion of our society. The VA has been underfunded. I think it's been mismanaged. I think that it's been mismanaged because ultimately the politicians that represent the people have failed to identify the fact that we're still at war. We're still creating casualties at a fairly substantial rate, and it's not going away. You can't pull the sheets over and make the boogeyman go away. You have to deal with it. We have to deal with the realities that we're still at war. We have to take care of the American warfighter. As a society, it is our ethical responsibility to do so. Once we make that a priority within our society, I think a lot of the VA's problems will start to go away. But we first have to identify that we're still at war. We're still creating casualties through foreign policy decisions. Once we do that, we have to figure out exactly why. Are these wars of choice? Are they wars out of necessity? So are they jeopardizing American sovereignty directly, economic hegemony? We can talk about whatever reason why. Ultimately, we have to have a very open and candid conversation in our society as to why we're still at war, but more importantly, how do we take care of the warfighter? Once we allocate the resources, we have to pick up the pieces to the people that we break. It is a very long line. When you go to the VA, we have long wait times. It's a frustrating process because they want to throw copious amounts of medication at people and not fix what's broken, whether it's a physical or psychological ailment. And what I say is they like to mop the floor when the drain's clogged. And that's a medical issue as well as just the a societal issue.
Thank you for getting into that. It's just very frustrating to see, you know, the deteriorating conditions that have continued throughout the VA in many different locations around the U.S. and that the fact that they haven't gotten any better, and they're telling their staff not to comply with government subpoenas after, you know, new information comes out about how bad the conditions are. It's just really sad to see veterans of all people having to go through that. But let's get back to the coffee company.
Yeah, my wife would just absolutely string me up when I got home if I didn't ask you this question. Your videos, is the dishwasher is broken? Oh my goodness, that video was funny. You do so many great videos. How do you think of stuff up, and who does your videos? You guys do them?
We
yourself?
Do them.
Oh.
Yeah, we do them all. What we like to say, you know, I started my advertising mainly through trying to entertain the veteran community, my subculture, I suppose. And it is, sometimes it's a little bit crass, but we're exercising, you know, our first amendment in conjunction with our second, which is, you know, we have the right to free speech and we try to entertain and create value. That's our value proposition, which is if you laugh, if you enjoy our content, we really hope that you'll enjoy the coffee. It's two things we take a lot of pride in, is just creating value for the customers. Sometimes, you know, people don't like our content. You know, they think that it's probably a little bit too racy at times.
Well, it is, but you know what?
Yeah.
So, all right, deal with it. Don't watch it. But you know, you had me rolling on the floor. This is what happens when the kidnapper can't stand you. You know, I can relate. Okay, I got it. But so I love it. But you know what? If it's not your cup of coffee, change the channel. Yeah. Don't watch. But
right.
So there. So on behalf of my wife, I just asked. Okay. By the way, Evan Hafer, the top bean at Black Rifle Coffee Company, and seriously, the official coffee of the Hagman Report, and I hope you try it out for the holidays, or I hope you, if you're not drinking it, I hope everyone in our audience gets a Black Rifle Coffee. Thank you for allowing us to pitch that, by the way, because, and again, we have no financial interest at all, but I'd love to see a veteran-owned company with the same belief system as we do just make it to the top. Go ahead, Joe. I know you had some other issues, questions.
Yeah, and just a few things from your website. I'd like to learn more about what your coffee club entails.
So I wanted I wanted the coffee club for me, actually. I designed it for me. I wanted something that I could just put it on autopilot, so you can choose 1 to 4 bags, and you can choose it on 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however much coffee you drink. That's where you basically you can just get it auto shipped to you. It continues to build. It comes out to your house. It's dumped on your doorstep in the time that you want it. I get 2 boxes of AK-47 espresso dropped at my front porch every 2 weeks, and I still am a member. And the other piece to that is you get discounts from your favorite retailers in the firearms industry. So when I'm a huge Second Amendment advocate, obviously. And so I've been able to align myself with companies like Kryptek and Kimber, Leupold, and then other veteran-owned companies like Bison Union, Article 15 Clothing, Ranger Up Apparel. And we provide discount codes every month for the things that you might be purchasing outside of coffee. So what I say is let your passions pay for your coffee, and that's what I tried to create in the coffee club.
Man, okay. I love that. I love that statement.
What are some of the products? Maybe people who want to. Do you have any, like sample packs or test packs that you send out? What are some of the better holidays?
You selling coffee now or what?
I just want to know people who want to try it, you know, but don't want to take the full plunge into, you know, buying a bunch of stuff.
Maybe want to test it out.
What are some
take
of the
full plunge?
Yeah, what are some of the coffees or bundles that people can buy to try a little bit of everything or to test out the coffee?
Yeah, so we have the Mission Fuel Kit, which is 4 of our main blends. So I've developed those roast profiles with, it's called an Arabica Supremo or Colombian Supremo about 3+ years ago. It's an AK-47, just black. We use CAF at times, and then we rotate that in so you can see all those bags. We've got Beyond Black, Silencer Smooth, Just Black, and AK-47. I rotate that at times, so about every 2 to 3 months, I'll rotate another bag in there, just to mix it up. But our Mission Fuel Kit is probably one of the best things you can get because you get 4 different blends. That'll last somebody that drinks a lot of coffee, that'll last them 3 to 4 weeks. And if you do put it in the freezer, it will last longer. We are a roast to order coffee company, so I don't roast your coffee until you put in the order. So we don't have coffee sitting on shelves for extended periods of time. We've just got, as soon as our order comes in, it's literally roasted that day or the next day, and then it's put on a truck and shipped out.
Man, you can't beat that. I got to tell you, checkmating Starbucks at every turn. You ain't going to find any triple venti, non-fat, or soy lattes here, you know.
No.
This is really a fantastic. We are so impressed. I mean, I am so impressed. Beyond belief. And I want to thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for your service. Second of all, I want to thank you on behalf of everyone listening, I'm sure, for everything you're doing for our nation, for the people, you know, for your employees, because truly this is what America is all about. You, when I look at you, look at your coffee company, I see America written all over it, man. I really do.
Well, I appreciate it. It's funny because you guys are interviewing me and you can see my coat. I'm wearing my coat and I'm on my, I literally just jumped off a podcast with another veteran, Matt Eversman, who is the main character in Black Hawk Down. So I walked from our podcast studio over here and jumped right into this. That's why it looks like I'm wearing my winter coat, because Utah's a little bit cold right now. But I was just got off the phone talking to him about veteran entrepreneurship, veteran opportunity. How do we employ and empower more veterans? You know, our mission statement is pure and simple, which is to emancipate American men and women from government service. And, you know, for us, we,
looks like we lost them here in the
all
last
right
minute.
Well,
we try to bring him back, or we can let
that
go.
No, that was good timing. You know what? If you're able to, Eric, just tell them we enjoyed our time together, because we're up against the bottom of the hour break. But folks, look.
We're going to have him back on, I'm sure. We're going to be talking with him off air, too. the Black Rifle Coffee.com. BlackRifleCoffee.com is the website.
It's great stuff. That's why I'm so peppy tonight.
That, and they not only sell coffee, they sell a whole bunch of other things, from, you know, mugs to hats, t-shirts, other equipment. They have a fantastic, easy to maneuver website that is, it's really nice looking. And they got all kinds of products that, as well as their coffee club, which I think is a great thing.
And seriously, the reason, Joe, that you and I talked about this to bring him on the top, being at, Black Rifle. Oh, he's back? Okay. At least we got about a minute.
My wife called and I forgot to put us on, Do Not Disturb. So it's my fault. What I was talking about was, we literally just got off a podcast. I do another podcast here in the studio. Do you guys care if I talk about it for?
No, go ahead. Please.
It's called The Launch Code, and you know, there's no advertisers, nothing on it. But all we talk about is, empowering and employing veterans. So we try to get people on, other veteran entrepreneurs, other veterans that can inspire and lead and provide a little bit of motivation to the men and women of the country that are, transitioning out of service and into the private sector. It's called the Launch Code Podcast, formerly known as, Black Hearted. And, but that's why I'm wearing my jacket, because I just jumped off. Our conversation went a little bit long. And, it's our primary mission focus here at Black Rifle Coffee is to provide great value. If you truly love great coffee, and if our coffee and our company is in line with your values, I think there's just no other option. There are so many good coffee companies out there, but you really have to think about the company. And what I tell people is, I just try to get people to vote with their dollars.
Amen.
You know, if you love the coffee, you love the company and what we stand for. You know, I like to think that, you know, I'm the conservative coffee of America. And, I don't speak for all vets. I just speak for, you know, my veteran community and the guys that will actually listen to me.
Well, Evan, we're at the bottom of the hour. Thank you so very much. Network break. Thank you for coming on. I know you're a busy guy. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. I can't thank you enough.
Follow on Twitter, Black Rifle Coffee Company. My goodness, Black Rifle Coffee. Getting right back. Stay right where you're at. Hours of programming a day, 3 hours for the flagship program, that's 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, and of course Doug Hagman Radio Show, that's 9 to 10 Eastern, Global Star Radio Network, and BTR, Blog Talk Radio. Just go to HagmanReport.com and you'll find it, as well as Joe and John's show from their live noon Eastern, and you can also access that program via HagmanReport.com.
We did an extra hour today.
You did an extra hour.
We did an extra
yes,
hour.
Yes, we did. Oh, that's right. We were on with Jim and Angie from Victor's Libertas.
Yeah. I'm not sure when that's going to air, but yeah. That was a fun interview.
It was just unplugged, you know. But, you know, the veterans, you heard what the CEO, the top being at Black Rifle Coffee Company, was talking about. And think about the veterans. Think about how many, I mean, think about 15, 16 years, 17 years of war. How many years? A long time of war makes a lot of veterans and a lot of people who suffer from injuries to PTSD to everything. Our next guest is going to be talking about that. And in fact, has written a book. But before we get into that, Joe, the results, Alabama, and I don't like to do this because the numbers change so much, but the Alabama race, Judge Roy Moore and Doug Jones, what are we looking at here? Close race, right? Supposedly, some exit poll.
Yeah, we got some
close race. I don't know.
We got some numbers coming out, and it is showing that it's hard to tell because you only have 1% reporting. But it looks like Doug Jones has 1,000 vote lead. You know, you have Doug Jones 4,000 votes, Roy Moore about 3,000 votes right now, 57% to 42%. But you can't. I mean,
look, this is not
up
football
to anywhere
game,
between
okay.
a million to 1.4 million voters. So we're talking only about, you know, 6,000 at the point.
Yeah, and it's difficult to even discuss it at this point, but we'll know when we know. And, hey, we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see how the media spins it. Either way, that you're going to see media spin. Either way, regardless of who wins.
And it's a tainted election, you know, as we said, because of all the publicity and the way that they have polluted.
And you're going to ask yourself why the left, Soros in particular, his organizations, have and by the way, you follow the money on the left with respect to this election. And understand that a lot of this was the money going into the Jones campaign was structured so that the identity of the donors would not have to be disclosed until, if at all, until after, way after the election. It's pretty interesting how that works. Legal? Yes. Ethical? Well, depends on your ethics, I suppose. Tactical? You better believe it. So that makes me wonder when you see, in investigations, you always follow the money. And this is something that we do is we look at the money end of things. And, you know, you got Jones, he's a proponent of, abortion. It's a woman's right to choose. Really? Okay. But don't get me started on that.
Yeah, we have our guest with us.
Okay, good.
Welby O'Brien, and she is the author of a book, Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD.
There's the book.
Wendy O'Brien is crazy about her veteran husband, and together they face the daily challenges of PTSD. Holding a master's degree in counseling from Portland State University and teaching degree from Biola University, based on her own life's journey, she has authored the book Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD.
And goodbye for now. Which grief support, formerly a wife, divorce support. She's a prolific author. That book is a tremendous book, by the way. And I want to thank her for writing that. But
she's also a contributing author to Chicken Soup for the Soul, Divorce and Recovery, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Spirit of America, and as well as many other books. But she's come on to talk about this book. Her website and the website for the book is loveourvets.org. That's loveourvets.org. Welby, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's great to have you. You know, you've got a background in counseling in my studies of you and your background. And you live with a husband who's 100% disabled veteran with PTSD. Let's go right from the beginning. What exactly is PTSD? I know what people think it is. I know what people, but what is PTSD and what causes it? And folks, don't get mad at me for asking that question, because there's a lot of people out there with misconceptions. So let's start there, if you don't mind.
Okay. Post-traumatic stress disorder actually can happen to anyone. And it's a result of being exposed to horrific or traumatic or life-threatening. And what happens is the whole person goes into emergency survival mode. You've heard of fight, flight, or freeze survival. And they stay locked or permanently programmed in that survival mode at some level for the rest of their lives. So 24/7, if something happens to trigger them back to that original trauma, they live as if that original trauma or some kind of impending crisis could happen at any moment. So when something happens to trigger them, they have no reserve with which to handle it.
Interesting. Okay. And that's a good, well-defined. Now, does it ever go away?
I wish. because the trauma and its indelible impact are always there, and you can't erase something that has happened, the PTSD itself will never totally 100% go away, just because it happened and it's part of their life. But the good news is that it can be helped. And there are more and more therapies and resources available now than ever before. In fact, it wasn't until a few decades ago, really, that PTSD was finally publicly acknowledged. So the good news is there's a lot of help out there, That's what Love Our Vets, the support network, and also the book, were all about, the fact that there's hope. And what may work for one person may not for another. So don't give up, but just know that it can be helped.
Okay, I have a question for you. In your book, you explain that PTSD can affect anyone, not just veterans. I'd like to know how this happens, one, and how, what are some of the signs that, that you'll be able to say or recognize that?
PTSD is a result of being exposed to a traumatic experience. So anything that a person perceives as life-threatening, it could be a loss of a loved one, it could be a tremendous storm or hurricane, it could be a car accident, it could be anything that traumatizes the person. And of course, we hear about it more with veterans, because that's more the common association, but there's actually more people in the general public that have PTSD than veterans, I believe, and it could be from abuse or anything that makes the person feel like they've got to go to fight, flight, or freeze survival. Some of the typical symptoms, and the good news is that not everybody has all these. That's good. Some people do. But some symptoms to look for would be avoidance, anxiety, depression, fear, hypervigilance, flashbacks, numbing, nightmares, difficulty sleeping, outbursts of anger or other emotions, substance abuse or other addictions, withdrawing, walling off, relationship trouble, sometimes employment problems, and unfortunately, sometimes even suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
But the good news is that they can learn to thrive, and that these are actually just signs of something that is a normal reaction to an abnormal experience.
Okay. A normal reaction to an abnormal experience. All right. Okay, I understand that. All right. And I you know, when I have to ask you this. I remember back in the late 70s or mid to late 70s, even after the Vietnam War, when the soldiers came back, this wasn't called PTSD when those soldiers came back from the Vietnam War, was it? Or did I miss that?
I don't think you missed it. It's PTSD actually has been around ever since all of history. It's had different names. Way back, they called it soldier's heart. You've probably heard of shell shock.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of names. And unfortunately, so many of our warriors came back and they were just kind of said, suck it up, get over it. Or even worse, they were put in treatments that were actually more harmful than helpful because people didn't know. So it is the Vietnam era, I believe, who eventually, those veterans eventually were the ones that kind of helped bring it to light. My husband is a Vietnam veteran, and it took him 40 years to figure out what was going on. So we are thankful that it is at least have a name, and there are more and more therapies and resources, organizations popping up all the time to help, in addition to the VA and the vet centers.
And because, I mean, you're living with someone, you yourself, with PTSD, and it, as you said, somebody with PTSD impacts a family, everyone around them. Now, your book addresses that, addresses a lot of things. If you want to branch out from there, even though, of course, your book is not a religious book, both you and your veteran husband are people of faith, you know, if you want to expand on that. And
yeah, and if the Christianity makes a difference,
yeah,
at least in your experience of the PTSD and others that you've talked to.
So a lot on the plate there to unpack there. Again, you know, living with someone with PTSD impacts you. How does your book, is in particular, address handling that?
Okay, and then the faith would be a second question.
Sure, yes. However you want to do it. We just threw a lot at you. So.
Okay, all right. I'll try to catch it all. Yes, the PTSD not only affects the individual who battles it firsthand, but it deeply and profoundly impacts all those around them who love them, who live with them, who are close to them. Some people call it vicarious trauma or secondary PTSD, kind of like secondhand smoke. I think, I've never heard any numbers, but with people all day long, every day for years, and my own life, I would guess that there are probably 3 to 5 individuals, loved ones, for every 1 PTSD survivor who are impacted. So if you do the numbers, it's a lot of people. And the war has come home, and all the loved ones around, we are now part of the ongoing conflict. I say in the book, it takes an exceptional person to love a warrior, especially a warrior whose war will never cease. And so those of us who are the loved ones, we find that we too start seeing symptoms of PTSD in ourselves. We too get triggered. We find ourselves on full alert and being hypervigilant and losing sleep and wondering how we're going to explain all of this to family and friends who don't get it. And so we need to connect to good support. We need resources as well. As far as
I just want to interject one thing here. We're not talking about snowflakes here. We're not talking about the snowflake trigger from a
from being offended or whatever it is.
Yeah. We're talking about people in the throes of war, for example, and that's not to diminish people's reactions to certain things, but we're talking about real life, real trauma, real. This is not excuse. We're not talking about excuses. We're talking about real life stuff. So I wanted to make sure people differentiated between the snowflake kind of behavior. They're always a victim.
And I think that's self-explanatory.
One would hope, but today I don't know.
And if I can just ask you a follow-up question to what you just added, the family members who are affected, with addiction you see, what's it called? Al-Anon meetings, where people who are in families affected by addiction are able to go for support. Is there support groups specifically for families of PTSD?
That's a good question. Members?
A great question. And that's one of the main things that we are all about at Love Our Vets. It used to be that they would say go to the Al-Anon meetings because a lot of the principles are really valid. There's a lot of crossover there. So that is an option. We have ongoing 24/7 online support. Go to the website, loveourvets.org. And that's the main thing that we're all about, because when I started my relationship with my husband years ago, there was nothing. And there's nothing like feeling totally alone and overwhelmed and like, what's wrong with me? I'm the only one. What is this? So that support, that total support, connecting with others is crucial. So yes, we have online groups, and we also have local groups in some places, and we are ready and willing to help you start a group in your area if there is not one. So please contact us if you want a group, whether online or locally. And we have a whole lot of resources. It may not necessarily be through Love Our Vets, but we can help find other groups. We've got one of the best resource links pages on our website, we've been told. So please know that you're not alone and that there's hope. And yes, get connected, whether you are an individual that battles PTSD firsthand or whether you are one of the loved ones.
You know, I just want to say to our audience that I get emails a lot saying, you know, all you talk about are problems. Problems, problems, problems. All you talk about are news things. All you talk about is this and that. You never offer any solutions. You never offer any, well, here you go. Here you are. And again, you got to think about how many people are affected by this very affliction. So go ahead.
I know lots of the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many of the listeners that we've talked to, who are veterans and, whatnot, and who have experienced other traumatic SRA abuse, things like that, that deal with and struggle with PTSD. So there is a lot of people in our listening audience, and I'm sure there are many family members of people. And also, to reintroduce you, we are talking with our guest. She is the author of this book, Love Our Vets, and that's loveourvet.org is the website. Her name is Welby O'Brien, and this book is subtitled Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD. And it's a great book. And one of the things I just want to show our audience here on the video is inside the book, there's a little insert and it is the PTSD basics. And there's some great information just on this little card you have on the back, you know, please don't. And it goes through a list of things not to do. And then it says, please do. And this talk about a place to start of a basics. This definitely is it. And again, the book is titled Love Our Vets. Welby, I don't know if our producer John told you this, but we're primarily have a Christian based audience. And, you say in your book, it's not a religious book, but you and your husband both are people of faith. Have you found that Christianity and faith makes any difference in the lives of those battling the PTSD?
Absolutely. Yes.
That's interesting.
I say in the book, over and over again, that faith and love are the two keys. At least most of the book is what I've learned in my own life and combined with things from other people too. And faith and love, faith is the connection with God, and love is the connection with other people, and those are key. And I know in my own life, personally, a relationship with the Lord has been a lifeline, also in my husband. I know that God never promised to protect us or to shield us from hard times in life or to erase trauma or to make life just really cozy and comfortable all the time. But he did and does promise to be with us and walk with us through the hard times. Much needed peace, his presence in the pain, promises perspective. When you get triggered with PTSD, all perspective just goes away. You're just totally in survival mode. So there's so much there. Jesus promised to walk with us through the trauma, and he knew all about trauma, of course. And one of the things about trauma is it makes a person feel terribly alone. So one of the first steps, the most important in healing, is to realize you are not alone. And if you can pray together with someone you love, that is even that much better. And you help each other in the ups and downs, because it's not all wonderful, but we're always learning and growing. And I do say that God has an amazing way of causing all things to work together for good to those that love him, who are called according to his purpose, even the stuff that just seems so unfair and so wrong and so painful. So, yes, in my experience and in the lives of those around me that I've observed, I have seen it truly beneficial to have that faith and that relationship with the Lord.
Well, that's great. And that's, you know, well, that's what I would have assumed. But sometimes, you know, I can see how it could, have a, what Christianity's messages can sometimes maybe trigger a PTSD just by looking at some of the things in the PTSD basics on the back of the book. I can see how that can kind of overlap maybe in a not so nice way if people aren't aware and familiar with PTSD and what they're doing. But as most things, in my experience, Christianity helps and adds everything to life. So I can see how that would overlapped the PTSD. I gotta ask you this question, because this kind of, I understand how this might work, but not really. How do patriotic holidays, such as the 4th of July and Veterans Day, affect those with PTSD? Is it negative, positive?
If you had read the book.
I haven't read the book yet.
Yeah, quick. I'll tell you what page. Actually, it totally depends on the individual. Anything that takes that person back to the original trauma can trigger them. So what may trigger one person may not necessarily trigger another. Some of the typical triggers around patriotic events are crowds, parades, loud noises, bright lights. I know a big one is the fireworks at 4th of July. There are especially combat veterans that can just totally put them instantly right back on the battlefield.
Is that from the sounds?
So it, sounds, lights, smells, any sense, any memory. We had a local patriotic event here honoring Vietnam veterans. It was in a big outdoor stadium. And I'm just not quite sure what they were thinking, but they surprised them all by landing a Huey helicopter in the middle of the field. And
what could possibly go wrong with that?
We're terribly triggered by that, although it was a wonderful gesture. So that was something. But each person is different, and you have to learn what triggers you and be aware of that and avoid things. Don't go to the parades. Don't go to the things if it's going to stir things up, and that's totally okay. It's kind of ironic because that's the day we want them to feel so honored and respected and celebrated. So that is a kind of a quandary.
Welby O'Brien's our guest, by the way. I just wanted to again reintroduce her and to say that, you know, this is solutions to a huge problem. You hear all this stuff about the opioid epidemic and really, okay, this is a problem. Here are some solutions. Welby O'Brien lays them out in a great fashion in her book. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wish we had more time because I'd like to get into and understand, you know, what that triggering, what people with PTSD go through. Is it, you know, stuff they remember, flashbacks? Is it the feelings? But we only have about a minute and a half left. So.
Well, I just got to say this. If you ever gotten shot at, I got shot at one time, and for like 5 years, seriously, and I'm not kidding around, any noise, okay, like a bang or whatever, I'd be on the ground. My wife was, you know, she would chuckle at that, as I would. But that's kind of a symptom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not funny. Be really careful never to belittle them or even
right.
Don't surprise them or play practical jokes on them, too. That's
right.
Not right.
No. And yeah, trust me. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, we got about a minute and a half left. I want you to give people out your website, theloveforourvets.org, and what else you do there. You said that there's a connected support group where you can get people together. You can get the book there. What do you do with the website?
There's lots of resource links. You can connect with resources. We've got a section on service dogs, PTSD service dogs, legal help for veterans, all sorts of support for the families and the people with PTSD. I also, you mentioned the PTSD basics cards. We mail these out for free to anybody who wants them. If you're having an event or something like that. Yeah, a lot of we do that. It also can be downloaded off the website, but it's a wonderful tool to share with people who just need a nutshell version of what it is and, like you said, what to do, what not to do.
Boy, you're a national treasure. You really are. And I say that, and I mean that. We're at the end of the segment.
Welby O'Brien.
We already got like 12, 14 emails asking you to come back. Hopefully you will. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, the book is Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD. Again, the website is loveourvets.org. And go on the website and get, if you want, get this PTSD basics card for free. She said you can get it, download it there or order it, and they'll send it to you. Thank you so much, Welby. It was great to have you on, and we'll have to have you back.
I love that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great night. We'll be right back with Stan Deo after this.